You're listening to Locked On Cavaliers, your daily look at the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Hello and welcome to the Locked On Cavaliers podcast, your daily look at the Cleveland Cavaliers. I'm Chris Manning from ForTheSword.com, SB Nation's Cleveland Cavaliers site. Today's show was going to be the mailbag, but because the Cavs did do something on Sunday, we are going to talk about that and their trade for Sam Dekker with the Clippers with Lucas Hahn from Clips Nation. Lucas is kind enough to join me. Lucas, what's going on?
Not much, man. Just a little happy. That's all.
So I immediately reached out to you to talk about this because Sam Dekker's not a guy that I was overly familiar with. Of course, knew him from his time at Wisconsin, but he's only been in the league 2 years at this point. Not a ton of data really on him in terms of minutes. It's about 2,000-ish career minutes. And he played with the Clippers, a team I admittedly did not watch a ton of last year. So when you say what you're saying right there, when you're reacting to the Clippers having to get him off the roster, which they needed to do because they are over the number of maximum players they could have in their roster, so this was maybe inevitable. But when you say, "Hey, Sam Dekker's gone. This guy doesn't fit into the team." Why is that a positive thing for the Clippers in your mind?
Well, the Clippers right now, they were in a position where they had like 18 players under contract. And so last week they released CJ Williams, who had only $100,000 guaranteed on his deal. And then they were in a position where they were assuming they kept Patrick Beverley, who's on a non-guaranteed deal but is the team's starting point guard. They were going to need to cut two more players. And of the 17 players who were left in the mix, Sam Dekker was pretty easily the worst of the 17. And he had a guaranteed contract, or still has a guaranteed contract, worth a little under $2.8 million. So for the team to not only decide to, you know, get rid of him over a younger player, you know, or Sam's young, but a better player like Sindarius Thornwell, who has a smaller guarantee on their contract, is a relief. But even more so, it's good to see the Clippers actually be able to trade Sam, create a small trade exception. We don't know what the I don't think it's come out yet what all the smaller details of the trade were, but I think it's fairly likely to say that nothing significant is swapped. You know, they're switching around some money and maybe a second round pick swap in a future year or something like that, but nothing significant. The team's able to create a small TPE, trim their roster down another side, get rid of the worst player in their 17-man group. So, yeah, I think they have to be pretty happy with it.
For the Cavs, the math on this deal, as far as we know, is they're going to absorb him into the Kyrie Irving trade exception that they have currently, that they got from obviously trading Kyrie last year. That's worth $5.8 million, or a maximum of $5.8 million. I believe Dekker's cap hit is much below that. I want to say he's making just about $2.7 next year, or something like that. It's not a ton of money, so this is about half of that. Maybe the best they could do functionally with at this point in time. It's obviously a little more than Larry Nance, about what Jetty Osman is going to make next season. According to Cleveland.com's Joe Vardon, the teams are going to swap. The deal will not be completed for a couple days. Now, Dekker has already basically confirmed that this is real. He changed his Twitter bio. Larry Nance was tweeting about it. Like, it's kind of one of those things that it's not team official, but is sort of done. Obviously, came from Woj first. It's real. Vardon's legit. I've talked to people that have told me a little bit more about it, but it seems as if they're going to be swapping random European draft rights to kind of complete this. And that sort of, it seems like it's just like a math move for the Clippers and for the Cavs. It gets them a young guy that is on a cheap contract that they can try out next year, maybe develop into something. Because he does, if you want to talk yourself into Sam Dekker, he is someone that has a pedigree. He was a very good college player at Wisconsin. He's only been in the league for a little bit amount of time. He's a 6'9 power forward who had one decent year where he shot okay from three and then didn't really shoot from three well at all last year. But when you look at what he was with the Clippers last year, 73 games for them, one start, about just 12 minutes a game, shot 49% from the field, 4.2 points, shot less than a three per game and only shot 16.7% on those threes. What was Sam Dekker last year in 2017-18?
Sam Dekker was a replacement level D League player last season. And the Clippers were just decimated by injuries. Like it's hard to overstate the extent to which the Clippers got destroyed by injuries last year. Blake Griffin, before he was traded midseason, missed over a month with a knee injury. Danilo Gallinari, the team's starting small forward, only played 21 games. And Sam Decker is a guy who probably should have been like 73 games at 12 minutes a game is what his role probably should have been going into the season without any injuries, because the team's only backup forwards were Wesley Johnson and Sam Decker. And Wesley Johnson is not a very difficult guy to beat out for minutes. In fact, several different D-League players beat out Wesley Johnson for minutes and starts last season as the Clippers were looking for fill-ins for Gallinari and Griffin. And so it speaks very loudly to Sam Decker's ineffectiveness that Sam Decker was firmly behind Wesley Johnson in the pecking order, as Wesley Johnson himself was firmly behind three separate D-League players, CJ Williams, Jameel Wilson, and Tyrone Wallace, all of whom got, you know, a lot of starts and opportunities, and in the games where they were able to be on the Clippers roster on their two-way deals, were clearly ahead of Wesley Johnson in the pecking order. So Sam Decker was, you know, he got those minutes by virtue of having a pulse and being healthy enough to play, but nothing that he did really earned him further minutes in a situation where really the bar was as low as it could possibly be to ever earn NBA minutes. Like the situation was lined up with all of these players injured, with D-League guys filling in spots where if you're a fringe player, you should be salivating saying, this is my chance to get major NBA game reps and show what I can do. And Sam Decker just never did. He was unassertive when he was on the floor. He was bad when he actually tried to make plays. And he routinely found himself on the bench despite the Clippers being as shorthanded as they were.
So when you look at Sam Decker, you look at what his situation was last year with the Clippers. I mean, do you make of the fact that he's not someone you think could develop into a fringe or actual rotation piece on a team? I mean, do you think that there's at all of a chance that he does develop into something more than he is right now?
I mean, there's always a chance with guys. You know, Sam Decker is not someone who doesn't have basketball talent at all. Like he was a star collegiate player. He was a round pick. He's played, you know, something like 2,000 NBA minutes. There's clearly at least something there that resembles an NBA player. But like I said, I think that he probably has the same amount of odds of turning into an NBA player as the average G League guy. So what he needs is, you know, maybe he lands in Cleveland. Maybe he really worked on his game a lot this summer. He lands in Cleveland. He's in the right situation. And just because he let go of a great opportunity in LA last year doesn't mean that he's going to spoil a great opportunity again. So maybe he gets the perfect opportunity with the Cavs this year and can carve out, you know, a niche role for himself. I think it's probably more likely that he ends up doing a stint in the D League after his contract expires next summer. And then maybe it's a situation where over the course of a couple of years, he can fill out the edges of his game a little bit more and become a more decent all around player and then land himself a spot back in the league. But overall, I would say that, I mean, I felt as though if the Clippers just waived Sam Decker, that he probably wouldn't make a roster this coming season. So that's why I'm fairly happy that they were able to find a trade for him.
For the Cavs, I'll say this. I think I look at his numbers. I look at some of the data we have on him from last year, and it doesn't really paint a picture that I think is particularly great. You look at Cleaning the Glass has his shot frequency chart, and they're sort of the way where he was shooting last year. It is interesting because it's threes, it's specifically left corner three, and then a lot at the rim. So it's a very three and spacing type of notion. But you look at his 3-point numbers, they're not good. Right, like he's not exactly shooting at a level that's at all respectable or that team should respect, and that I think that limits his value because he's not you know, the numbers don't indicate that he's a particularly great defender. He, you know, actually he rates out decently as a offensive rebounder on some free throws and on offensive rebounding in general on just the percentages last year. But defensive rebounding, he's not nearly as good. So that limits his value a little bit there. I think for the Cavs, I think it makes sense to some degree just because like that trade exception was probably going to be hard to do something with. They're in a position now where I think they should be taking chances on guys like this to see if they can develop him into something. And I think when you look at their setup for the roster this year, they certainly have a glut of guys they got to play at the four and at the five. They have obviously Kevin Love, Larry Nance, Tristan Thompson, Channing Frye, Ante Zizic, now Decker. Now, Decker, I think, can learn a lot from Kevin Love. I think that's a guy he should be, you know, working with and learning from right now. I think that's a guy he should be trying to model himself after. Maybe not in terms of the elbow hub or that type of post-up play, but the shooting, the rebounding, those are things I think he can learn from Kevin Love. Channing Frye also should be a really great mentor for him. Channing Frye is a guy who, if you go back to his college days, was not a shooter and had to learn how to shoot. I think the Cavs with Decker and with Larry Nance have two guys that they probably believe can shoot or would like to think that they could shoot. And if there's any guy that's going to be able to help them do that, I think Channing Frye sort of is it. And I am bullish and skeptical, or is it bearish? I never remember because I'm bad at math. I'm not a math person, but I do not necessarily know if he's going to be good. And I think the numbers right now wouldn't indicate that he is going to be a good NBA player. But I think in terms of just getting a trade exception and trading out some random Europeans that might never play in the NBA, I think that's an okay risk, roll of the dice to risk when you're a team that needs some young talent and that needs to do something. And, you know, I don't love that they also got rid of Okara White on Sunday. I thought he had a little more potential as a defender. But also, I mean, it's negligible at that point. And if you think Decker has a higher ceiling, I think it's probably worth it to take a chance on a guy like this.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, this is not uncommon for teams to take buy low chances on former first round picks like this, especially in the last year of a rookie deal, or maybe the last 2 years of a rookie deal, although Decker was so injured during his rookie season, he only 6 minutes in three games. So even though he's been around for 3 years, really 2 years of experience. And yeah, I mean, there's no harm in buying low if you have the roster spot. You're not really worried about the money, and it gives the Cavaliers a little bit of assurance that, you know, if the Clippers had waived him, maybe somebody else would have made would have gone after him in free agency. Maybe he decides to go back to Houston, who needs a little bit of forward depth. But ultimately, I just don't know that he's worth a roster spot. Like NBA teams get 15 roster spots. I think there are better players who are going to not be on an NBA roster next season at his age, at his position. And probably this is a situation where Cleveland's front office is going back to a guy who they liked in 2015 at the draft and weren't able to get because he was picked 18th. Cleveland is picking later on, etc. And then after a few years, a guy hasn't panned out and they think, well, we liked this guy before. There's no reason to not take a chance on this guy again now. But I think I just want to, maybe I'll be eating a bunch of crow, but the Cavaliers fan, I think, should be viewing this trade as they brought in an extremely buy low guy who doesn't look comfortable or ready for NBA minutes and doesn't have a real NBA skill and was going to get cut by the Clippers for roster space, not because the Clippers have an insane glut of forwards, but because the Clippers went out and split their mid-level exception to sign two backup forwards and are going to keep Sindarius Thornwell and Wesley Johnson over Sam Decker. So a second-year guy who was the 48th pick in the draft and Wesley Johnson, who we all know is not very good, plus the Clippers felt the need to go out and address the backup forward spots. That's what ended up pushing Sam Decker this far down the depth chart, where the Clippers are now getting rid of him. It wasn't like some circumstance where they drafted talented forwards in the lottery or something like that. They went out, they looked at Sam Decker's position, said, this is a position of weakness, went out and addressed it with Luke Mbamute and Mike Scott, and then looking at their depth options in terms of the roster, chose Sindarius Thornwell and Wesley Johnson over Sam Decker. And frankly, I think that that was a no-brainer choice in terms of the caliber that they are. The only thing that Sam really does is he hustles a little bit when he's on the court, but it's not like he has an insane motor. It's just the one thing that he's kind of doing. And that's why I say he's kind of an average G League guy, because he gets minutes and he looks really flustered and really lost and like he doesn't have an NBA skill, but he's, you know, chasing after loose balls and getting some rebounds underneath the basket because he's just kind of trying. But, you know, I was so disappointed and unimpressed with Sam Decker last season. Hopefully he can do a little bit more for the Cleveland Cavaliers this year, but I'm not optimistic.
We'll wrap it up on this. Do you think sending him to the G League at all would that be weird? I mean, that to me, it seems like if they have all these, for me, they have all these bigs, they're going to try to play well. Do you think the G League would be viable for him at this point? Or would that just be like too rough of a look? I mean, just PR wise.
So one thing that Sam definitely had struggles with was because of his inconsistent minutes, because of his uncertain role, although his role actually ended up being relatively steady, he was constantly being the warm body backup to 8 different power forwards over the course of the season. And because of all of, I think that definitely affected him mentally in a way, which made a slow start to the season end up becoming a really, really bad season. And he said, I think there was one point in time where a reporter asked him in the locker room after a game about his struggle shooting the 3-ball. And he said, I haven't been hitting shots lately. And one of his teammates just jokingly said something about, like, lately, man, you haven't made a shot in 2 months. And so I think it really was a thing for him that he wasn't playing well. And sometimes a new locker room, a new practice facility, a new coaching staff, a new set of teammates, a couple months off and a whole brand new season is what a player needs to kind of break out of a funk like that and perform a little bit better. So I would worry that if the Cavaliers sent Sam down to the D League, that would be something that might further affect his confidence and kind of continue the sort of spiral that we saw happen with his confidence on the Clippers last season. At the same time, I think that Sam is a guy who will need to play in the G League as a stepping stone to eventually having an NBA career, whether it's on assignment with the Cavs this year or after his contract expires, as he's trying to get back into the NBA and get another NBA contract. He's going to need to spend some time in the minor leagues. And the sooner that he can have that awakening and become comfortable with that, the better off he'll be. I just don't know if he's ready to be comfortable with it yet, which could actually end up hurting his confidence and standing with the team.
Thank you so much for coming on. Just let everyone know what they can find at Clips Nation and where they can find you on Twitter.
Yeah, my Twitter is at Lucas J. Han. My blog is clipsnation.com on SB Nation's NBA Network. You can follow along on Twitter at ClipsNationSBN.
Yeah, go check out Clips Nation. It is a great Clippers site if you want to read about the LA Clippers, which are going to be a very interesting team this year, I think, for some reasons, and in a very interesting Western Conference. But you can also read for the Sword, that we're also in the same network there, as you know. And find Lockdown Cavaliers on Twitter and Facebook at Lockdown Cavs. Find me on Twitter and Facebook at CWM Rights. We'll be back tomorrow with that promised mailbag show, but thanks for listening. Thanks to Lucas. And we'll see what's going on with the Cavs this week, and we'll see if we actually find out what David Nwaba is getting paid. But I'm Chris Manning, the host of Lockdown Cavaliers. Thanks for listening.